This is the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach.
Hi, before we get into the next segment, I just want to stop and to take a few moments to give you some updated contact info and to thank you for your prayers and your participation in Lodestar Ministries and this outreach ministry, the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach, and as we seek to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the world. You can call us or write us. Write us at P.O. Box 255, College Station, Texas, 77841. That's P.O. Box, Post Office Box 255, College Station, Texas, 77841. You can call us at 888-563-7713. Or you can email us at jackthepreacher@gmail.com. That's JACKDAPREACHER, jackthepreacher@gmail.com. Let us hear from you with your prayer requests or your comments or however we may be able to bless you further here at Lodestar Ministries. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Well, welcome to the Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. I'm your host, Jack Cook, and we're certainly glad to be with you once again as we move forward in this blessed Bible study. As we look into the Gospel of St. John, we are grateful today to come into you again. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. We want to just look now and move forward to our next segment, next phase in this study. We have looked at the revelation of the Son of God. We've looked at the proclamation concerning the Lamb of God. We've looked diligently in the manifestation, that is the Lord's public ministry. Today we want to move into the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. And when you want to look at it overall from this thought, this theme, if you will, and that is that of the edification. The edification that is the private ministry. This is the private ministry of our Lord to his disciples, that is unto us who are his. You know, our Lord, he loves his people. He loves his own. He paid a dear price for us. He didn't just die on that cross to purchase us, to redeem us from the marketplace of sin. But he did it because he loves us. He loved us then, and he loves us now. And we thank God for that. So let us go into this 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. This 13th chapter here represents a key turning point in the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As he turns his heart unto his loved ones, as he turns his heart directly to us, to begin to minister to us, that he may leave us this legacy of love. Before we move any further, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and bless you today. Lord God, we exalt you and praise your holy name. And Lord God, we pray and consecrate and dedicate this time unto you, Lord, for your glory. And we pray, Lord God, this day, indeed, Lord God, you have your way. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place, into this time, Lord God, that you will, Lord, say and do that which you will have said and done. Lord God, we pray you pour out into your servant, Lord God, and then pour into the heart of he that will have an ear, Lord God. That is, that he will know and desire to know and to understand, Lord God, your word and your will for their life. We pray, Lord God, you bless this day. Oh, Holy Spirit, be Lord God, in the midst, Lord God, of everything that is said. Lord, give us a heart of love, Lord God, and your love, Lord God, to say it. Lord God, we love you and bless you today. And thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings, seen and unseen. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen. We're looking again here in this 13th chapter of the Gospel of John. And it reads as such. Now, before the feast of the Passover, you remember we've been kind of going through the series of events through the previous chapters of the Lord's experiences and his encounters with everyday folk like you and I, and how he have dealt with not only that, but he's dealt with his enemies, and he's dealt with his disciples, his apostles, and we experience every facet and every order and segment of a little jot and tittle, if you will, the nuances of his life, and how in that process he has served to minister to us indeed the precepts and the statutes and the ideals and the foundation and the truths of God's word, and also how that we should walk, how that we should live, hallelujah, before God and before man. The Holy Spirit have ordained. He have continued to remind us of where he's headed. Hallelujah. And giving us the timeline. And so here we said, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, hallelujah, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Ah, glory to your name. Hallelujah. That is, I don't know about you, but that is so comforting to me. That is so comforting that the Lord loves us to the end. Hallelujah. That he will never leave us nor forsake us, but he is always there, and he takes it very, very personally. You remember when Paul was given name Saul, there in the book of Acts, was about persecuting the church, how that when the Lord met him on Damascus Road, how that he made the statement, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You know, it's as if the Lord is saying, everything that happens to us, every hurt that comes to us, every oppression, every offense that comes to us, that the Lord takes it personally, and he identifies himself with it. Amen. And so to say, well, why would a loving God, why would he let this happen, and why would he let that happen? That's really not fair to God, because God is with us. God is with us. Hallelujah. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And so the hurt we feel, the pain we feel, the disappointment we feel, the fear we feel, the grief we feel, all the things that we feel, the hurts, all of everything, that he is there with us. And he feels them as well. Amen. We don't have, according to the Hebrew writer, such a high priest that cannot feel our infirmities. Hallelujah. He loved us. He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, they have been in the upper room, and they have spread the table, and they have partaken of the traditional Passover feast as was ordained and established by Moses. Hallelujah. You remember the testimony back in the Old Testament of how this whole matter of the Passover even began. I won't elaborate or go into detail about that. You know and understand that. Hallelujah. It's in the Bible if you haven't torn it out. Amen. And supper being ended, the devil, that always there, yeah, always hanging around, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Now, I want you to put a pin there because we're going to come back to that. Amen. This testimony here in the Word, it's going to remind us of that. It's going to bring us back to that. And the Lord is going to go back to that, and he's going to address that. But in the meanwhile, he's going to do what he does in these next few verses. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, my, he rises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This same Jesus took these same disciples and the same disciples who all along the way from Galilee, only conversation they had whenever they thought they was out of earshot of the Lord was about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. They followed Jesus, and they were all in with Jesus, and they believed his teachings. They believed who he was. But the only thing they could talk about and think about was who was going to be the greatest. Who was going to be at his left hand? Who was going to be at his right hand? Who of them was going to be the big shots? I don't know what it is about, man. But we always have to strive to be Mr. Big Stuff. We always have to strive to be number one. We're so fierce. We're so competitive. We're just so driven. We all just have to be number one. Don't nobody want to be number two. And they sure don't want to be number three. But everybody got to be number one. So here in our text, the real number one, the only one, the Holy One, takes of a towel, puts his garments aside, puts his robe aside, and puts his outer garment, and puts on the robe of a servant. Humbles himself. He who had taken on the form of a servant, that is mankind, has gone the extra mile. And now he has taken the role of a servant. Amen. And he is washing these disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel for which he was girded. Then cometh he. Now he's done the rest of them. None of them have kicked yet. None of them have complained. None of them have said anything. You know, they have not put the hand out in that. And have not made a comment that is recorded before us of the Lord's actions, save for Peter. Nah, I like Peter. Peter says what's on his mind. Peter is not one to bite his upper lip. He's not one to miss his bottom lip. He's not one to mince his word. Hallelujah. But Peter. being the extrovert that he is. Amen. He says to the Lord, hallelujah, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Verse 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now. Put a pen right there as well. But thou shalt know hereafter. Why did he not know now? Well, it's the same thing he told him back over in the previous chapter 12 there. Well, he doesn't know now because he hasn't been converted. He doesn't know now because he has not received the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit within him that was manifest on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. Amen. And so he had not reached that level of being. Amen. That none of them had, not just Peter. That the Holy Spirit have taken up his abode, hallelujah, in their very person, in their very being. And we are so blessed today that you and I that are born again, hallelujah, that receive the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We are blessed to have, hallelujah, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, amen. But here's a problem, amen, that we, thank you, Holy Spirit. Here's a problem we have with that, is that while we all have a measure of faith, and while we all have a measure, amen, of the Holy Spirit, the trouble with some of us, amen, is that the Holy Spirit does not have all of us. Because he does not have all of us, because not all of us have yielded totally and completely unto him. Hallelujah. And those that experience that point in their life, amen, where they become converted, and that is they fully change their way and their walk. They fully change their direction. They fully go from being dependent upon themselves and being totally dependent upon God. Hallelujah. They are the ones, hallelujah, of whom the Holy Spirit now has full control. Amen. Amen. And maybe that's what the distincting mark was and is, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit, is that evidence is manifest, hallelujah, with the speaking of tongues. I'll just put that out there and y'all chew on that for a little while. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But Peter, verse 8, back to our text. But Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. And Peter, hallelujah, verse 9, saith unto him, Lord, don't just do my feet then, Lord, hallelujah. Not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Wash all of me. Hallelujah. Wash all of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Peter, he begs the Lord, just wash all of me. Purify all of me, Lord. Hallelujah. By your grace, Lord. Cleanse me and wash me, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because you are the Word of God. Wash all of me. Wash all of my parts, Lord God. Wash all of me, Lord God. Lord God. Cleanse me, Lord God. Hallelujah. And so the Lord, hallelujah, said that he that is washed, check this out, he that is washed, hallelujah, needeth not. In other words, he that is sanctified, hallelujah, he that, hallelujah, that is anointed of God, he that is cleansed of God, both inside and outside, needeth not, hallelujah. If you're sanctified of the Lord today, if he's cleansed you in and out, if he washes you in his word every day, Lord God, if he washes you, oh, bless you, Jesus, if he washes you continually, hallelujah, you don't need him to wash all of you. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Except to wash his feet. But is, hallelujah. Because, why? Here's the answer. Because he is entirely clean. And you are clean. He's talking to his disciples now. And you are clean, hallelujah, but not all of you. Here we go. Go back to verse 2 there. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, you are not all clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how heartbreaking it must be for the Lord who desires that none should perish, but that all come to repentance. How heartbreaking it must have been for the Lord to have to experience the loss, amen, of one of his flock, of one of his sheep, whom that the devil had taken hold of and then became an instrument of the devil. My. And so, verse 12, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments, he was seated again. He said unto them, know you what I've done to you? Amen. You call me master. And he goes on to minister to them. Why? You call me master and Lord. And ye say, well, amen. For I am, amen. I am, hallelujah. I am your master and your Lord. And verse 14, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, you also are to wash one another's feet. My. Hallelujah. And so, in other words, he's saying, hallelujah. In other words, what he's teaching is that our duties to one another are mutual. Because none of us in Christ Jesus, amen, are above another. None of us, there's no big I's and little U's, as we like to say, in the body of Christ. We must not only help one another, hallelujah, but we also ought to be helped by one another, hallelujah. We ought to yoke ourselves together as one in one another, hallelujah. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. He said, I have made myself as one of the brethren. Amen. As one of the brethren. Even though I'm your master and your Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Even though I am your master and I am your Lord, what I've demonstrated before you is my willingness and desire to number myself with you as one of the brethren. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verily, verily, verse 16, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. Hallelujah. So whatever your gift, whatever your calling, whatever your position, whatever your prominence, whatever your stature is in the local body, in the universal body of Christ, amen. We are all one of the brethren. Hallelujah. None of us exceed as great as we think we are. Hallelujah. I hate to bust your bubble today. Amen. But we are all brethren in the body of Christ. And we say brethren because, as Paul pointed out, we are the new man. Whereas there's neither bond nor free. Where there's either Jew or Gentile. Where there's neither male nor female. But we indeed are truly, literally one in Christ Jesus. And the sooner we get to know that, and the sooner we get to understand that, maybe the sooner we will get our foot off one another's neck. Maybe we will stop looking down our nose toward one another, because one of our brethren don't look like us. And she don't walk like us. She don't smell like us. And he don't come from where we come from. Hallelujah. Maybe we, Holy Spirit, will start seeing each other the way that Christ sees us. And the host of heaven sees us. And the devil sees us. Hallelujah. We always looking on the outward appearance. We need to learn how to look into the heart and soul and spirit of a person. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 7. If you know these things, glory to God. If you know these things, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Hallelujah. Amen. Matter of fact, if you know them, you are obligated to do them. Huh? And that's the danger of sitting under the word of God and sitting under the word of God. That's the danger of the 11 o'clock hour, is that when you hear the truth of God's words, when you hear his principles, his precepts, and his statutes, when you hear the word of God, hallelujah, then you indeed, my brother and my sister, are obligated, hallelujah, to do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. It's verse 18. But that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me have lifted up his heel against me. My. Now I tell you before it come. I want you to know it now that I know it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you now before it come to pass. So that you know it, that I know it. That it come from me. For I am. Hallelujah. Now I tell you that. I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Ah, glory to your name. You might believe that I am. Hallelujah. I am that I am. Hallelujah. Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomever I send, here's a principle. Verily, verily, I say to you, surely, I say it, surely, surely, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever, whomsoever, whatever shape, size, whatever color, whatever status, whatever, all those things that you see on the outside, whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, my, receiveth him that sent me. Hallelujah. Who's he talking about? He's talking about God the Father. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He's talking about God the Father. So when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in his spirit. My. He was troubled in his spirit. He was troubled because, hallelujah, of facing the things that were before him. Hallelujah. He was in trouble. He was troubled in his spirit. Amen. And testified and said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. One of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spoke. Oh, it can't be you. It can't be you. Can't. Who is? Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Now to get this scene, I think we shared this before when we were talking about him in Bethany. How that the custom in that day was they didn't sit at the tables we used to sitting at with the tall chairs and the tall table legs, but how that they more or less sit around a table. It was usually a round table, amen, and they all just kind of leaned on pillows, amen, around the table as they feasted together. That is the culture, Eastern culture, even to this day. And so that's the picture that you get when the scripture says, now he that was leaning on Jesus' bosom, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, amen, whom Jesus loved. I think we talked about last time out of the discussion that went on with a friend of mine in one of their Bible studies, and how that they were going on and on about who was it that whom saying, talking about who Jesus loved, and and how that folk have written books and theses and everything on this, and why he said that. Well, it's really simple. You know, we talked about it before, that of course he's talking about John, and we talked about why John referred to himself in the third person. But I got to take you back to the beginning of our text here, in the 13th chapter, where we are, is that the Lord loved them all. Hallelujah. He loved them all. And it's not that he loved one above the other. Amen. But he loved them all. And so this phrase, this term of whom Jesus loved, was just a figure of speech. It was just that. It was just a term. Amen. Amen. But Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that is, he beckoned to John, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spoke. Amen. And so John leaning next to Jesus, they kind of all kind of leaning on one another. They kind of shoulder to shoulder, kind of just leaning on their pillows, shoulder to shoulder. John is there, though, close to Jesus. John was always close to Jesus. Peter, James, and John, they was kind of the inner circle. Amen. And they hung with Jesus a lot closer, amen, than the other nine. It seems to be is that they were where Jesus went, they went. Hallelujah. Where Jesus turned, they turned. Amen. And I tell you, that is my desire. That is my goal. I don't know about you. Amen. But I want to go where Jesus goes. I want to be where he is. Amen. When he turned to the left, I want to turn to the left. When he turned to the right, I want to turn to the right. When he moved forward, I want to go forward. When he stands still, amen, I want to stand still. I want to be, amen, where he is. Amen. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you. I wish I had an amen here today. Hallelujah. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, said to him, Lord, who is it? Lord, who is it? You know, he kind of whispering in his ear, Lord, who is it? Amen. And so Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall. He probably answered him back, whispering too at this moment. He it is to whom I shall give. And he probably motioning his hand. He's probably breaking the bread right now. And he probably already dipped. He it is to whom I will give a sop when I have dipped it. Amen. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas. Amen. And so John knew. Amen. He's talking to John. He's probably talking to him very, very personal, very quiet. And he's probably kind of whispering back to him. And then Jesus turns to John. Amen. So the testimony in verse 27, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan couldn't enter into him. He couldn't literally enter into him. He may have been messing with his mind. He may have been messing with his heart. He may have been messing with him. Amen. But it was now, amen, that he was given permission, because Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Amen. Jesus said it. There's a lot going on here. The devil didn't have the authority. He wasn't able to do it until Jesus said it. Amen. And so Jesus said it. It's like he removed the hedge. Amen. And allowed, amen, Satan to enter into Judas Iscariot. And then so Jesus turns to him. Amen. In verse 27, it says, what thou doest, do quickly. Amen. And so, in other words, get on. Get on and do what you got to do. Amen. Verse 28, now no man at the table knew. Now, so I think that confirms. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That you see how our scripture is? You just keep reading it. You just keep reading it. You just keep having a desire to know and to understand. That is to hear, amen, the truth of God's word. And the Holy Spirit will continue to teach you. Amen. And you just have to keep in his word, though. You just keep reading his word. He'll explain himself. Amen. Here it is right here. Now, no man at the table knew for what intent he spoke of this unto him. So that confirms that he was more or less kind of whispering to John when John was asking him his questions. And while he was dipping the sop and he was explaining this to John, he was more or less whispering to him quietly. And then when it happened, Jesus began to speak plainly and began to speak where they all could hear, like I'm speaking now. And he said, again, what thou doest, do quickly. And so verse 29, but some of them thought because Judas had the bag that Jesus had said unto him, amen. Because this is going on very privately. Had said unto him, he didn't call Judas out. Amen. Amen. And that's how it go when you love somebody. Amen. That's how it go when you sometimes have to correct somebody. And when you have to rebuke somebody. It's not the time to call them out. Amen. It's not the time to shout them out or put them down publicly. From the pulpit. Amen. From the podium. Amen. It's not a time to beat folk up. Amen. That's not a time to do it. But you do it privately. Amen. You do it privately. You do it one-on-one. Amen. Because the wisdom is when you call somebody out openly like that, and when you beat somebody up openly like that and publicly like that, first of all, you're violating your authority. Amen. You're violating the authority. Because remember, you are brethren just like everybody else. And then secondly, you're being very disrespectful. Amen. Or to whom you're speaking to. And then thirdly, you're going to put that person more than likely in the position, amen, where they will begin to defend themselves, amen. And then now you got a huckabuck going on. You got pride going on. You got a person want to defend himself. You got a person that's offended, and now he begins to defend himself. And so then now you also, because the devil is in the mix of it now, give a chance for the enemy, amen, to totally destroy a relationship and a friendship. Because in your pride and your abuse of authority, amen, you call somebody out and openly rebuke them. That's why the Bible said, rebuke not an elder. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, rebuke not an elder publicly. Amen. Amen. First of all, because you're being disrespectful and dishonorable. Amen. In doing so. Amen. It's like when Paul, rebuked the high priest openly like he did. And when he found out he was a high priest, he apologized. Because you just don't do that. Honor does not do that. Love does not do that. If you got something to say to somebody, a rebuke or correction, amen, in a very private nature that has something to do with their actions or how they offended you, even Jesus said, go to them. Amen. Go to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For, amen. Let me get back to verse 29. I don't know where that came from. Hallelujah. Y'all excuse me. Amen. Jesus said unto, they thought, let me start at verse 29. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto them, buy those things that we have need of for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Because, you know, they's always giving something to the poor. They just didn't sit on their money. Amen. They just didn't sit on their treasure. They just didn't put their hands under their bottom and sit on their treasure. Amen. But they poured out. Amen. They gave of their treasure. Amen. To the poor, to feed the poor, to clothe the poor, to take care of the poor. Because the wisdom of God, the Lord knows the heart of God, that God's heart is toward the poor. Amen. Matter of fact, scriptures say, you lend to the poor and I will repay you. Ah, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to get that in our spirit in this selfish generation that we live in today. Amen. Oh, we want to give something around Christmas. Oh, we happy to throw out a little couple of bucks around Christmas. Amen. And around, Thanksgiving. Amen. All of a sudden we magically and mystically become charitable. Amen. And want to give something in, want to take our used clothes and things and give and donate things. But the Lord, evidently did this all the time. Amen. All the time, all the time. And that's what the boys is thinking here, is that, oh, that must be what he's doing. Verse 30, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So now we know what time it was. Again, it was the Passover. Amen. It was before the feast of the Passover, and it was at night. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, verse 31, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Isn't that interesting? Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. My, my, my. Amen. Now, Jesus, in my opinion, amen, and in the opinion of others, amen, have been glorified, and all the, don't you think? Amen. All the miracles that he wrought, all the raising of the dead, and all the feeding of the 5,000, all the great things that the Lord had done, wouldn't you think that he would say, then I have been glorified? No. No. He's saying now that he's about to suffer, now that he's about to pour out, literally pour out his blood and literally pour out his life on Calvary's cross, he says unto him, now is the Son of Man glorified, because the Lord knows what's coming next. And God is glorified in him. My, my, my. Y'all put a pin now. We're going to get back there together. It's down the road here in some other chapters down here. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself. You see how the reciprocation goes? You give and it shall be given unto you. Hallelujah. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Hallelujah. Overflowing. Amen. God always gives you double for your trouble. Amen. And shall straightway glorify him. Verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall see me. And as I said unto the Jews, where I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, hallelujah. What does he say? Where I go right now, you cannot come. Verse 34. And here's where the table starts turning. Here's where the Lord starts ratcheting up, amen, his private ministry to us, amen, and begins to give us, amen, our marching orders and give us, amen, the manifesto, how we should not only say, but how we should do and how we should live. He says unto us, amen, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, hallelujah, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, verse 35 is in the Bible. You can read it yourself. Amen. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Amen. Now look what he didn't say. He said, if you have love even to your neighbor. He didn't say that. Now, don't get mad at me. It's in the red right here. This is what he said. I understand the great commandment. I understand. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your strength and might, and the second, and your neighbor as yourself. But that's not what we are, one another's neighbor. We are even closer than that. We are one another's brethren. Amen. Amen. And the Lord here has set the standard. And whether we like it or not, this is the standard. And this is the way it's going to be measured. Because this is the way it is. Because it is. Because he said it. Amen. And when he said it, it becomes what it is. Amen. And so here's the standard. Here's the condition. If we have love one to another. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I wish that could sink in. Because this is what the church must demonstrate to the love, to the world. Amen. Now, sure, I just said, we're to feed the poor, we're to feed the hungry, we're to feed them. But that's not how they're going to know, amen, that we, hallelujah, are his. He said that the world is going to know that we are his if we have love one to another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My, my, my. And can I tell you today, it begins at home. It begins at home. Amen. Verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where goest thou? Where are you going, Lord? And Jesus answered him, where I go, you can't follow me now. Where I'm going now, you can't go, Peter, whether you want to or not. But thou shalt follow me afterwards. Hallelujah. Peter said unto him, Lord, why can't I go? Why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake, Lord. I'm the one, Lord. I'll follow you to the end of the world, Lord. Hallelujah. I go where you go, kind of like I was saying then, right? I go where you go. Hallelujah. I'll lay down my life for your sake, Lord God. Jesus answered him, verse 38. Will thou lay down thy life for my sake, Peter? Really? He said, Peter, let me tell you something. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the cock shall not crow until you have denied me three times. And Peter, the rooster is before the rooster crows in the morning. This morning coming up. Amen. You are going to have denied me three times. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Well, that concludes our study today in this powerful 13th chapter. And we pray that you have indeed something was said or done to encourage you, to strengthen you, to bless you in it. And we pray that you will indeed, hallelujah, continue to go with us in this study. It's going to be a great study. Amen. We indeed would are blessed in bringing it to you. And we will going to have to talk to you next time. I got to get out of here. Let's just have a quick word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you and bless you today. Lord God, indeed, we're grateful to you. We're so grateful to you, Lord. We're so grateful to you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that we indeed, that you will smile down on us this day. We pray, Lord God, and I pray, Lord God, that these words, Lord, will be scattered to the four corners of this earth. Pray, Lord God, that you will take it now. And Lord God, and let men, women, boys, and girls hear this word, Lord God, that ordinarily may not even hear a word, Lord God, take it into the deep, dark crevices, Lord God, of China and Lord of Africa and Russia, Lord God, and of all, Lord God, hallelujah, this earth, Lord God, be glorified, I pray. And we dedicate it and consecrate it to you again, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to The Point of Deliverance Evangelistic Outreach. This program is made possible by the grace of God through the faithfulness of the partners and friends of Lodestar Ministries and the contributions of listeners like you. Every day, every day.